So our passage this morning comes from the book of Revelation. And I don't want to worry you, though. I'm not going to have any sort of end times charts, or, you know, there won't be any dragons or, you know, beast and fire and brimstone. I won't name who the Antichrist is, because we all know it's Trent Burton. Just kidding, Trent. I don't know if that disappoints you or not, but we'll be looking at a message from Jesus to the church in Laodicea. And Laodicea, it was a very, very prosperous city, and it had big industries in fashion and medicine, including optometry. So they were very well off. And though this letter is going to sound rough, know that it's really a love letter to a people that were missing out on the greatest love of all. Hear the words of Jesus in Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 through 22. And really, I'm going to pause at verse 20, because that's kind of the focus verse for this morning. To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich. I've acquired wealth and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, so that you can become rich, and white clothes to wear, so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline, so be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So in verse 20, we get this peculiar picture of Jesus, the ruler of God's creation, the ruler, basically begging people, the people of Laodicea, to let him into their homes. I want you to ask yourselves, how do you know when someone feels at home in your home? Or maybe looking at it the other way, how do you know when someone has truly welcomed you into their home? You know, a few weeks ago, we thought it might be a fun thing to have our students give us a virtual tour of their homes. You know, it turned out to be a really fun and enlightening experience, and it helped us to get to know each other and discover the things that are really important to us. So I thought to help illustrate the message for today, we filmed a short little video that we wanted to give you of a tour of our house. So just give me a moment. I'll set it up and you guys can enjoy a little tour of our home. Hey, St. Paul's. So we know that a lot of you know our house because you drive by it all the time, but many of you haven't been indoors. And so we wanted to take some time to just do a fun little tour for you guys of our home. So please come on in, make yourself at home. This is our kitchen and dining room. And as you can see, I have my computer set up here. That's usually where I do a lot of my preparation kind of stuff and getting things ready. In our kitchen, one thing that you'll notice is we don't have a garbage can on the floor. It's hanging up here, and then all of our food stuff is up top. And that's because our little dog Nico loves to stick his nose in garbage and in food because he's got an insatiable appetite. But we really love being in our kitchen a lot.
I'm not going to show you every bathroom, but we did want to mention this. We had Ryan Turner actually made this for us in one vacation that he went in. And there is something in our bathroom that I do want to show you. But I want you to have the full experience.
So when you're in our bathroom, this is what's staring back at you. Kind of a cute guy.
Okay, so now we're in our living room, aka Nico's bedroom, number one. Because even though he's laying down in on his bed right now, for at least 80% of the day, he is up on one of our couches here. And you'll see a bunch of the blankets that we have out all over the place. He definitely loves just lounging out and hanging out. So we have a couple like little interesting things in here, but one of the ones that we love the most is we have a clock with an etching that looks a lot like Nico. And Lydia's brother Zach made that for us a few years ago. We also have one of our paintings from Haiti that we really have always really liked. And so we put that up right over here. So here we are in our dining room. As you can see, it's kind of cluttered. And that's because this is our workspace. We do so much research and preparation for what we do with youth and Sundays in here. We have our books kind of easily and readily available to us. And then the space right over here, our red room as we call it, is sort of become our music studio. And of course, one other thing that's in here is yet another couch, aka a bed for Nico. And he even has a little pal to keep him company at night. Well, why don't we head upstairs and check out the rest of the house? Alright gang, so one of the places that where our guests do stay when they stay with us is in our guest room, which when we moved in, the walls were like that, so we decided, wow, that's really cool, so we decided to keep it. But this is just a nice space that people can come in and they're staying with us. The old keyboard room or the piano room, because Lydia's keyboard used to be in here, is the blue room. And you know, once again, another couch for Nico. Lydia likes to come up here and read. It's kind of a nice quiet spot for her to connect with God and to prep. So she's got a lot of her books and notes all set up over here. There is one room that we will not show you, only because it's kind of messy, because we've turned it almost into a storage room or our attic. We affectionately call it the pink room. And the reason we call it that is the rug is pink. See? Nice pink rug. Okay, so here we are in our bedroom. We just really love being able to rest and relax after all the business of the day. One of the neat things is this is Lydia's grandmother's quilt. She had for many, many years, and when she passed away, Lydia was able to inherit it. So that is a dearly loved piece of comfort for us. We've got Lydia's crutches when she sprained her ankle in the corner still. And once again, yet another one of our lovely dear Nico's beds. He pretty much has claimed this house as his, and we are the visitors. We won't go into our closet because that is another one of those areas that's whoa. That's a no-go. But thank you guys so much for coming into our home, and we pray that you have a blessed day. Okay, gang. So, you know, I know that we couldn't have everyone physically in our home, but we hope that that gave you just a little glimpse into, you know, part of our world. And that hopefully our home gave you just like a little taste of what, you know, what we're about, right? Because our homes really are a representation
of what's important to us, of what makes us, right? So it's no surprise that when Jesus talks about standing at the door and knocking, it's the doors of our very lives that he's referring to. The door of our hearts, if you will, as Mel had suggested. And so how do you know when someone feels at home in your home? Or, you know, again, looking at it the other way, how do you know when someone has really, really been welcomed into your home? You know, when we pose this question to our kids at youth, some of the responses that we got were, when I can take my shoes off, right? When I can take my shoes off and just lay on the couch. When I don't have to knock to come in. And when I don't have to ask to get something from the fridge, or perhaps when someone encourages you to, hey, take your coat off, stay a while. Someone even suggested that when they gave me a special nickname, you know, maybe it's when I can go anywhere in the house, when I have access to all the rooms, then it feels like home. You know, I remember growing up and going to my friend Bob's house, and there was a certain point where I became more of a fixture and less of a visitor, right? There were a number of ways that his family made me feel at home. And it started with having access to the fridge, which, look, if you're giving access to your fridge to a teenager, my goodness, that is a brave, brave thing. You know, but it got to the point where they were even offended if I should ask, you know, hey, can I have something from the fridge? Bob's mom to this day calls me son, and I couldn't be more proud of that. I love Bob's family because, you know, they took me and made me really feel like family. And as a result of that, we were able to like just share so many things. Yeah, we shared a lot of meals together, but we also shared life. We shared laughter and tears all the more. And so what does it mean to let Jesus into your heart? I mean, that's how we explain it to little kids sometimes, isn't it? If you believe in Jesus, he takes away all of your sins and comes to live in your heart. But what does that actually look like? I don't know if you noticed that there was a sort of a running theme in our home. When Lydia and I first gave the tour of our house to the kids at youth, we didn't realize how much our dog Nico has left an imprint on almost every single room. You know, it's funny to think of how much impact he's made in our home because, you know, we knew we needed to create space for him, right? Some space for him when we adopted him. But really, I thought it was going to be no more than his crate and a few toys here and there. But when you invite someone or something into your home, it changes things. It means that you have to make room for that person. It means that that person changes you. There's a noticeable difference in your life because you have to adjust their presence. You know, I remember one time we had to make a critical decision about Nico one morning. So when we went to bed the night before, we found him sound asleep in his dog bed. However, when we came downstairs the following morning, we found Nico resting on one of our comfy couches. We knew we needed to make a decision right there and then. Would we make room for him? Or would we limit him and say, you know what, you can't be there. Bad dog, get down. Would we allow him to invade our space? Does Jesus have free reign in your life? Or are there areas that you keep him from? Are there certain rooms in your heart where he's just not allowed to go? You know, when you have visitors, right, when you know that they're coming, it's easy to look good, right? You know, you can clean your house, you can put on the best clothes, you put out all the fancy dinnerware. You know, even in a pinch, you can toss a bunch of dirty laundry in the closet if need be. And, you know, I'm pretty sure we've all done that before. But when you have someone living with you, really living with you, it's much harder to hide the messiness in your home. When someone lives with you, you know, you really see them as they are, and they really see you. And that can be an uncomfortable thing. And you know, I really think that that's why some people don't want Christianity to be true. You know, they don't want to know that there's a God who's out there and that, you know, God might want them to clean up their mess. It's much easier to not believe because, you know, we like our messiness and we don't want to be told otherwise. But notice the reason that Jesus gives for wanting access to come into our homes. It's love. It's all love. In verse 10, he says that he loves those he rebukes and disciplines. Now, we'll talk a little bit about that a little bit more in a moment. But in verses 17 and 18, he's wanting to give them true wealth that can never go away. He was offering them his robes of royalty right off of his own back. That's a great honor in those days, so that they wouldn't have to walk around embarrassed. He was offering to heal them of their eternal spiritual blindness, which is far worse than temporal physical blindness. Then in verse 20, he offers them a dinner feast, but not just any dinner, not just, you know, a meal at McDonald's or whatever. No, this was a slow, joyful meal that's away from all the work and toil under a hot sun. A meal reserved for close friends and family to be enjoyed with meaningful conversation, pouring their lives into each other. And then finally, in verse 21, he offers to share his throne with anyone who would let him in. His throne! Are you kidding me? Like, I don't want to share my ice cream with Lydia sometimes, right? Much less a throne. And this is the God of the universe. Look, we've learned this with Nico. And when you allow someone to live in your home, you have to make space for them. And that's not easy. But, and you really can't forget this. But you also get the benefits. You also get the benefits that that person brings with them. And let me tell you, that little dog for sure has brought a ton of love and joy into our lives. And that's what Jesus is hoping to do when he's knocking at the door of our hearts in verse 20. He says, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me." Now, you got to notice this. Jesus is standing outside knocking on the door. For one, he's not barging in, right? He's not picking the lock or barreling through like he's the Kool-Aid man, right? He's not forcing himself on us. But that means that it requires a yielding on our part. We have to be the ones to open to him. You know, this is the reason that I know that God is real. And also how I know that God is good. I believe that this shows that God is real because he requires participation. And every relationship that is meaningful requires that both parties participate. It's unavoidable. And God has always wanted to participate with humanity. It's in his nature. So God is a real person wanting a real relationship. But the reason we know that God is good is his knocking. His knocking lets us know that he's not holding people captive. He loves us enough to let us choose him or not. That means that we're responsible for allowing Jesus in or keeping him out. So God demonstrates his gentleness and his goodness in not forcing his way into our lives. But look, that gentleness, that should not be thought of as if he's just faintly tapping on the door of our hearts, barely making any sort of noise. I don't want to upset them. No, this is a passionate, relentless knocking. The unashamed and relentless pursuit of a lover separated from their beloved. This is the kind of passionate, pleading love that longs to make a home together. It's more persistent than the knocking of a lover throwing pebbles right at a window, trying to get one more glimpse of their loved one. This is greater than the trench coat wearing, boombox over your head, persistent, embarrassing kind of love. It's greater than the humiliating love of a husband reminding his Alzheimer's afflicted wife of their life together, walking her through the moments of their life, bringing up past hurts and other love interests with the hope that she's going to one day remember that their love is a true destined love. It's a love that's willing to be stripped naked so that we might be clothed. Made poor so that we might be rich. Broken so that we might be healed. And this is the love of Jesus knocking on the door of our hearts. There's no other faith in the world where God is a pursuer and lover. There's no other faith where God is willing to be humiliated. That's what makes the heart condition of the church in Laodicea so sad. They were indifferent to this kind of love because, you know what? They'd found fulfillment in other things. They found it in their wealth. They didn't have room for Jesus in their lives because their homes were just filled with too much stuff. Does Jesus have room in your home? You know, we all have certain items and mementos that we have in our homes and, you know, things that spark joy or have sentimental value. But if we're honest with ourselves, you know, we have a lot of junk too. You know, a lot of tchotchkes, as Lydia likes to call them, magazines from 1982 that, well, I'm going to get to those. I'm going to read those someday, right? Or a third pair of boots that's just maybe a shade, you know, shade lighter than the other two. But how about our hearts? Are we willing to make room for Jesus to enter in? Are there hidden areas where he's not allowed to enter? You know, if we know that he's this kind of a lover, why do we still resist him? Why do we not hear his knocking? Have we really let him in? You know, there are many reasons why we don't allow someone into our homes and, you know, a lot of times it's just fears that are at play. You know, if somebody shows up at your door and you don't like their appearance, or maybe they've been given a bad reputation from someone else, you know, you probably aren't letting them in. You know, maybe hurts from your past keep you from trusting that you should let another person into your life, or, you know, maybe you think your home is too messy to have somebody come in, right? You're embarrassed. You know, maybe you realize that if you let someone in, you have to make space for them. And you're going to change, right? Things are going to change up, and maybe you just don't want to be bothered with that. That's the sad reality of the rich church of Laodicea. They were so self-sufficient and rich that, you know, with all the things of the world, that they missed the only true treasure of this world and the next. They didn't have room for Jesus, and they didn't want to make room for Jesus. They didn't realize that they needed him. They didn't hear his knocking. And they didn't know his love. You know, I pray that we would be different. I pray that I would be different. And that today, if you hear his knocking, that you would welcome the lover of our souls, Jesus, to enter in. Let's pray together. Oh, Jesus, we thank you for being that lover of our souls, God. We thank you, Lord, that we're not too messy for you, that we're not too broken for you. Lord, you came to seek and save those that are lost. And we know that you're continuing to seek after us, God. You're continuing to knock on the door. Lord, would you soften our hearts that we might open up and let you in? Because you are good, Lord. And wherever you are, there's life. And so, God, I just pray that we would make room for you. That we would open up and let you in. Because it's your home, Jesus. It's your home that you're trying to get into. So, Lord, we just continue to pray and ask if anyone feels so distant from you or unable to open their doors, Lord, that you would just soften their hearts, God. That you would help us to see that you are the greatest thing. Thank you, Lord, that you desire to make your home in us. We give you so much thanks. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.